so glad you're here. It's Tuesday, March 6th. Are you back for three more free sins? Well, if you tuned in yesterday, I'm sure you enjoyed the time with Steve Brown, radio broadcaster, speaker, author, and great storyteller. I kept Steve on the phone yesterday, so we'll continue that conversation. But a quick shout-out to two birthday girls. Doris Meyer, congratulations on your 80th birthday this past Saturday. Peggy and Jan and Curly, your husband, love you, as do we. And my mom also had a birthday on Sunday. Happy birthday, Mom. Well, let's just jump right in where we left off yesterday, as Steve recounts lyrics to a chorus and illustrates how much God loves us when we turn to Him. Here's Steve Brown.
But this is the chorus, and there's a picture of Jesus hanging on the wall, and it's been there since I was very small, and He looks like He'd just seen a little girl fall, and He don't look angry at all. He don't look angry at all. And so I would say to all of us, Christian, non-Christian, pagan, people who can't believe, people who have been doing this for a long time, God is not angry. If you're not a believer and you run to Him because of the blood of Christ, He won't be angry at you. And if you're a believer, no matter where you've been or what you've done or who you are, run to Him. He'll welcome you with open arms. He is not angry.
You mentioned the blood of Christ. Now, for some, that could be really a scary term or unfamiliar. Or what does that mean, the blood of Christ, the blood of Jesus?
Forgiveness is never free, Mark, and which will never happen because I like you so much. But if I punched you in the nose and you forgave me, that would cost you a punch in the nose. And so God doesn't just say, well, you know, I forgive you, no big deal. There is the law, and it's built into the nature of the universe. And so, to forgive us, it cost God. It cost Him His Son. And the sacrifice of Christ on the cross is the place where He took every lie I ever told, every bad thing I've ever done, every person I've hurt, and it goes on. He took all of that and put it on His Son. And He vicariously bore it for me. And not only that, there's a Reformation doctrine called imputation. And that means God said, listen, I'm not only going to do that for you. Let me tell you what else I'm going to do. I'm going to take all of the obedience and the righteousness and the goodness of Jesus, and I'm going to put it in your account. So sin is no longer my issue. And we're so prideful. You know, we really think that being a Christian and joining the church is joining a moral improvement society. That's not what this thing is about. It's about being obsessed with that kind of love. Mark, Charles Spurgeon said, when I thought God was a monster, I kicked against the goads. But when I found out how much He loved me, I couldn't understand why I rebelled against Him so.
And the freedom that comes when we're forgiven or we forgive others, you talk a little about that through an illustration out of Luke 5:17-26, what was really needed there. And you cite a couple examples of the journey of forgiveness and a Rwanda story. Do you have a few more minutes to share a little about those two illustrations and the importance of forgiving others and receiving the forgiveness that God extends to us, those free sins, if you will?
And then you can only forgive to the degree to which you have been forgiven. So in Luke 7, when the prostitute comes and breaks into the Pharisees' party, Jesus said, he who sinned much is forgiven much and loves much. And so sometimes we forget the great power. That's why God makes such a big thing in it. And in the book, I have a friend, his name is Steve Boone. And he works in Canada. And Mark, I was kind of worried about using these examples because it made me sound like I was going after Canada or going. It's everywhere. I could have used 1,000 examples. But the native peoples of Canada heard the prime minister of Canada, who's a believer, ask forgiveness for what Canada had done to rob the native people of their heritage. They started government schools. Children were taken away from their families. I mean, it's really not a very pretty picture. And they did it for the right reasons, but it was awful. And so the Indians peoples got together and they said, he's asked for our forgiveness. Are we going to forgive him? And they really worked. They struggled with it. And they decided that, yes, because of Jesus, they would forgive. And so they had this journey of forgiveness. And Mark is catching on all over the world. Where, you know, if you start looking at any heritage of any country, any place, there's so much bad stuff. And that's true of the church, too. And so forgiveness is the only remedy we've got. Rwanda is a perfect example of that. Christians did bad things. They put their tribalism over Jesus. Thousands were slaughtered in Rwanda. And yet now the church is rising up in shame and asking forgiveness and giving forgiveness, and they're sitting on top of a revival. And if you want something powerful to happen in your life, find the person who ticked you off the most, who's done the most bad stuff to you. Then go to Jesus, confess your sins, and let him forgive you, and then go and forgive that person. Man, it's better than drugs. Well, I've never done drugs, but I can't imagine a better high than that. It's wonderful. And that's the reason God talks about it so much. It's where we get our power.
Steve, I want to quickly say that I know you're growing in your faith because we've gone 20-plus minutes, and I don't think once you've had to ask forgiveness from different denominations, usually on your morning program, which is heard on both of our stations, you say, don't write in, I'm not your mother, I'm sorry, I probably offended the Baptists, the Lutherans, the Pentecostals, or the dispensationalists, and so forth. And you're really tracking well this morning.
Listen, pretty soon I won't be able to talk to you anymore. I'll be so pure.
Steve, another thing I love about your book, Three Free Sins, is the illustrations, the stories, the scripture references many times at the beginning of chapters, just the different ways that you bring the message home to us that God loves us, that he's not mad at us. But we can have a role in helping others, of being that Jesus with skin on, if you will, the hands and feet of Jesus. And you give an illustration about little Billy in the classroom and Sally in the fishbowl. And it's just kind of a warm story that allows us to know that we can cover for one another and we can assist in helping people in their spiritual journey.
Yeah. Isn't that a great story? It's a story about a little boy who was in his classroom, and horror of horrors, he wet his pants and the water was going down on the floor, and he was so embarrassed, and the teacher was moving in his direction, and he knew she was going to notice, and everybody was going to know it, and they were going to make fun of him. And just at that moment, a little girl had a fishbowl filled with water she was going to clean. She walked in front of him and dropped it, and water went everywhere, and all the students and the teacher were cleaning it up, and nobody ever knew. And later on, the little boy saw the little girl at the bus stop, and he leaned over and he said, you did that on purpose, didn't you? And she smiled and said, yes. And he said, why would you do that? And she said, because it happened to me once. And it's just a sweet story and an obvious application to the way we as Christians are to be with one another and to be with the world. It happened to me, too. Are you lonely? I get that. Are you afraid? I'm afraid sometimes, too. Can we walk together? And the story ends with a little boy and a little girl holding hands. And it's kind of corny, but it's a true story, by the way.
And isn't that kind of the Jesus, the high priest, that can identify with us? I mean, he came in the flesh, God Almighty, Emmanuel, God with us in the flesh. And the scriptures clearly say he can identify with all the things we struggle
with. So true. It's what the Christian faith is about, that we have a high priest who isn't out there somewhere, but who's come. And the Word has become flesh, so that every time we go to him with our pain, he can say, I've been there, I understand.
Steve, thank you so much for your time. I'd love to have you close out with a couple more stories, because I don't want to say you're a master storyteller, but I love your program, Key Life. You're very transparent. You share some of your own life stories. You share things that you've learned. You've read many different books. You love God's Word. You love to divide it and teach it and equip saints to grow and to flourish in their God calling. And yet you also share things that are just heartwarming and interesting. And before I ask you my closing two questions, and one would be, tell us something about yourself that most people don't know, and then how we can pray for you. So I want you to think about those two things. How can we pray for you and maybe share something about yourself that most people don't know? But tell us a little about that Chinese lady and her water pots and the young woman and the older woman in the parking lot.
Okay. Let me tell you about the young woman and the old woman. If you've ever been in a parking lot waiting for a parking space, you can identify with this. This lady in a Mercedes was sitting in the supermarket parking lot waiting for this guy to pull out of the space so she could get it. And she waited for a long time. As soon as he finally pulled out, a young girl in a sports car zipped in and took the space for her. And then this young lady got out, waved at the old lady in the Mercedes and said, "That's what happens when you're young and quick." Well, the Mercedes lady, and I can identify with this, backed up and just rammed into the sports car. And then she backed up and did it again. And this young lady is ballistic. And the old lady rolled down her windshield, and she leaned out, and she said, "That's what happens when you're old and rich." Yeah. And I told that just to say, you know, we are rich. We're free. My friend Tully Javidjian says, "Now that you don't have to do anything, what are you going to do?" Well, I'm going to tell everybody what I've discovered, and I'm going to do it until I die. And you said to tell you something that, Nobody knows I'm gay. And this is the first time, Mark. I'm kidding. That's not true. I have a German shepherd named Thor who's more obedient than I am. In fact, and I got this from a friend of mine, if being a Christian is obeying the rules, the best Christian in my household is my dog. He's big, and he sounds mean, and he's totally obedient, and his name is Thor, and somebody else named him, not me. And I can't think of anything else. Mostly, I'm fairly open about who I am, so I don't have many secrets.
And how can we and our Great News Radio listeners continue to pray for you? As I mentioned, Key Life is heard at 7:15 weekday mornings on WGNJ, 9 a.m. on WGNN. So you're writing books, you're speaking, you have your radio program, your TV broadcasts. I mean, you're very involved. So obviously we want to pray that you continue to allow the Lord to work in and through you. But what other ways, maybe some specific ways we can be praying for you?
Pray specifically for time. It's, especially during when a new book comes out, my schedule's really heavy. And then God likes me a lot, so he gives me a breather in talking to somebody like you. But pray for time. And I'm a fairly controversial person, so I get a lot of people are angry at me. Pray I don't shilly-shally and that I don't back off, and I never compromise the message of grace. And I would appreciate that big.
Well, I'll certainly be praying up, and I might even pray up maybe a God's Not Mad at You trip to the Holy Land someday where we have you share.
You know, that might happen.
Hey,
bless you, Mark.
I will be praying. Thank you so much for your time. And again, I'll highly recommend the book Three Free Sins by Steve Brown. And you can find out more how to purchase multiple copies at keylife.org. That's keylife.org.
Great.
Hey, thanks for your time, and we'll stay
Mark,
in touch.
You're refreshing. Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Well, isn't Steve Brown great? His program, Key Life, can be heard weekday mornings at 7:15 on WGNJ, that's 89.3 FM, or at 9 a.m. Monday through Friday on WGNN, comprised of 102.5, 103.9, or 97.1 FM. Well, you may have wondered, how come I mentioned a trip to Israel with Steve Brown? Well, part of the time we talked off air, and you're going to hear that conversation where I was telling Steve about trips to Israel, and I began telling him how some of our Jewish friends call us evangelicals. So you're going to hear a little extra conversation that Steve Brown and I had yesterday as we close out part two of his testimony and our conversation on his new book, Three Free Sins. Here's a little more that was said. They call us their evangelical friends. <'cause>, well, anyways, that's a whole lot.
That is so good. Yeah. And that says so much good about you guys. You know, I'm so pro-Israel, and I love Jews. I'd give anything to be Jewish and know Messiah. I literally would give a finger if I could do that. Sometime I'd love to go with you to Israel. The time I was there, I was working on a book on anti-Semitism, and I didn't see much of it. So maybe I'll go with you the next time.
Oh, yeah. I just returned from my 25th trip, and the unique one. Oh, yeah. God has made it wonderful. In fact, Parkland College, which is one of the larger community colleges in Illinois, one of their faculty teachers says, hey, our continuing education program, you know, they've gone to Europe and France and Italy and all these places. They said, we've never gone to Israel. I know a guy that's done a lot of groups. Now, he happened to be a Christian faculty member. Anyways, they set it up. The director of their continuing education program, who happens to be Jewish, interviews me with three of her staff members. Hey, tell us about Israel. We've heard you've taken groups. And she was intrigued and said, hey, I feel like we feel confident we could have you host and coordinate. Now, they said, but Mark, it can't be a religious trip. Well, you know, I'm knowing you can't go to Israel without being religious. But I understood what
they were saying. That's true.
And so anyways, it was.
Oh, man, that is so good.
Oh, it was one of my favorite trips. I had a third Jewish, a third Christian, and a third secular. So I got to weave in and things. Anyways, I love seeing how God has his word come alive. Now, how many times have you been over?
Just that one time.
Really?
I've had a lot of opportunities to go, and I just can't find the time.
Sure.
But I spent a long time there, but mostly I was talking to people and not seeing the kind. I did one day as a tourist with an old guy in a Mercedes, and when I saw Bethlehem, he said, here comes Bethlehem. That was Bethlehem, and that's all I saw.
Oh, no.
You know Elie Wiesel's comment that Jerusalem is his favorite city when he's not there? That's a great statement.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, I'll be praying you up, because especially it's one thing if you go with somebody, but I know certain guys, you know, after 25 trips, and I've evaluated. I've been with Moody. I've been with Kay Arthur. I've been with a lot of other groups.
Oh, man.
Just to evaluate how they do it and how to improve on it, and you get the right trained guide that gives you the historical, the biblical, the agricultural, the sights, the sounds, all the different things. If you don't have somebody really good and talented to give you the narrative, you lose so much. Because you can go to Capernaum and you look at ruins, and okay, so maybe this was Peter's house. Yeah, maybe. Okay, these are the foundational stones. Okay. But if you don't have someone given the biblical account and then an overview, and we'll have to talk another time. I'm kind of like you. I have a lot of irons in the fire. My main calling is this radio ministry, but because I've taken so many groups, Blue and White Israel Tour says, Mark, you've hosted, you facilitated, you organize it all. I mean, I work with LL Airlines directly. I took out all the middlemen, so there's no added cost.
So good.
And they said, you know, you're so good at this. Will you be our, like, rep in the U.S.? And I said, hey, you can't afford me because my time is just so precious. I don't have free time. But I felt God said, I will do it, Lindy. I'm helping Blue and White Israel Tours. If I can influence humanitarian, well, to the Jewish people, she's Jewish. I call it humanitarian. To the Christians, it's a missions trip. But I said, if you will allow me to at least have the groups entertain the idea of serving, even if it's a half a day, if it's planting trees, if it's donating blood, if it's delivering teddy bears to the kids, I said, if I can incorporate that into trips, I will help you. And so for the last year, I've helped other ministries and pastors and churches. I just freelance. Hey, I'm not charging anything. This is why you need to go to Israel. Here's forms. Here's how to do it. Well, anyways, maybe at another point, if God puts on your heart, maybe I could help not only get you there and maybe a staff member or your wife or someone. Sorry, I know your time is precious.
I love this. And your enthusiasm is so refreshing.
Oh, well, it's because God's wired me this way, and I've seen it impact everyone who returns, everyone without exception, at least the trips that I've facilitated, hunger for God's Word, because when they see it read on location and the sights and the sounds and the terrain, and you know, yeah, we know maybe Jesus wasn't here, but maybe 100 yards from here, he didn't walk on that stone necessarily. There's a few places maybe, but when they return and God's Word comes alive, or they remember taking communion in the garden tomb that last day, it forever changes their experience when they take communion.
Oh, I know.
So my calling has been, how can I help equip others to get there cost effectively? And like someone like you, and I've said this to a lot of pastors and other leaders that I've helped, you don't have to prepare. Just say you were a primary teacher leader. I tell pastors, I told this to Dr. Lutzer. I was at NRB last year with him, and I was equipped him. I said, hey, you get on the Mount of Beatitudes, have somebody read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, maybe three different people. You don't need to preach anything. Trust me, when the birds fly over and you read, look at the birds of the air, enough of the biblical narrative sears into their hearts and minds. Anything more than 10 minutes, they can't process. They're overwhelmed, the guide's sharing things. I said, it doesn't take a whole lot. Trust me, God works in unique ways when you're there in the land. And so it's not like tons of preparation. And usually it's just say, Key Life was going to do a trip, or you're going to do a trip, or I was just going to have you as my teacher. I would say, Steve, you know God's Word. Trust me, it's really that simple. And oh, it's something that, well, I get kind of fired up when I talk about, because I just know how God uses it.
I love it. Okay. And, man, that is so good.
Well, hey, back to the interview. I just a couple more, because I think I can get this into 2 days.
Okay.
So as you heard, I did get it into 2 days. That was Steve Brown, host of Key Life, author of many books, but we talked the last few days about his new book, Three Free Sins, God's Not Mad at You. And he's not. God loves you. God has a plan and purpose for your life. He delights in how he's created you uniquely from everyone else in the whole world. In fact, in the whole universe. He has plans to prosper you, to draw you near to him, to begin and continue a relationship with him, not only here on earth, but through all eternity. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.